Egyptian was from Egypt, was a man. And man for sale cannot depend upon mortal man or natural man or whatever. If I'm ever using scripture here before we go on, let's go to Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, or the mother of his spirit shall be safe when he be set on high, in the Hebrew. The fear of the Lord, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be set on high. Then let's go to 28:26 of Proverbs. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Wise words are they. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let's go to chapter 11:28. This book is full of wonderful wisdom from the Lord. And we know that Jesus Christ is our wisdom. 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fail, shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Then let's go to Isaiah 47:10. Few Christians here at the beginning, so we can enable us, the Lord, for the Lord to enable all of us, and he'll do it if we allow him to get our minds upon him tonight. Isaiah 47:10. Notice for this one. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted me. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. This is Babylon. That's quite a statement. And this is what she is saying today. Not only religious Babylon, but especially religious Babylon, but political Babylon. Then let's go to Jeremiah 17. This is one of the most marvelous verses in the Word of God. Jeremiah 17:5-6. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departeth or revolteth from the Lord. This is the result of having a rebellious heart. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. And we could read the rest, but we're dwelling more upon trusting in man in this tonight. That's what it is. Yes. They don't want to trust the Lord like Israel. They didn't want to look to him for their needs and for him as their head, as their master, as the one who brought them out. So they wanted to be like all the other nations. And that's what the many Christians are wanting to be today. All right, let's read through this 20th chapter of Isaiah, 26 verses. I think we'll just comment on it as we go down. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, and in parentheses, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, fed him, and fought against Ashdod, and took it. At that same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoes from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And I'll just stop there for a little bit. Tartan here is the marshal, is the title of the Assyrian commander-in-chief. He's mentioned here, and he's also mentioned in 2 Kings 18:17. The meaning of his name is interesting. It means release the dragon. Release the dragon. He is a type of Satan called the dragon in Revelation. And Ashdod here is also Zodus in the Greek, and it means I will spoil. And this is what, of course, Satan is doing today to the whole world. He's spoiling it. In Joshua, you'll need to turn here. I'm just giving you these scriptures. In Joshua 15:47, and this really spoke to me today, this city of Ashdod was given to the tribe of Judah when they entered the land of Canaan. And what does Judah mean? Praise. But Judah never conquered this city. There were many cities that the children of Israel never conquered because they offered excuses for it. They never subdued this city. And Sargon here was the king of Assyria at that time. And the meaning of his name is also interesting. It means stubborn rebel, stubborn rebel. And who in the book of Genesis was a rebellious panther? Remember way back, Nimrod was a rebellious panther, and he's the one who founded Babel. Babel means confusion. These are wonderful truths. Sargon is typical of the Antichrist. And another meaning of his name is Smith's Bible Dictionary. It means Prince of the Sun, S-U-M. And this is the only time that he's mentioned in Scripture. And it seems from, and I didn't go into all the history of this, just briefly, but it seems that this Sargon was a usurper. And it's interesting how many years he reigned. He reigned from 722 to 715 B.C. How many years is that? 7 years. How long is the Antichrist going to reign? 7 years. See how the word just fits in? All of this was written for us. And Sargon was Sennacherib's father. And you can read about all of this in 2 Kings, and it's interesting there. I read it the other day. I didn't today. But in chapters 18 and 19, the Lord gave Hezekiah and his children of Israel a marvelous victory there. All the Assyrians were there, and they were going to take Jerusalem, and three of these men came up, and they told lies to the watchmen on the walls and so forth. But pretty soon the Lord came down and killed 185,000 of the Assyrian troops. So the Lord can do anything. Just leave it up to him. And as we said, Tartan is typical of Satan, who will come forth as a roaring lion after the church is in heaven. In 2 Peter 5:8, we read that he comes as a roaring lion, but he's not that today. A lion roars only after the prey is taken and is dead. Satan will have taken the prey at this time. He will come and he will have taken Israel captive in this covenant he's going to make with them. He's got them for their prey. He's got the world for his prey. And he's roaring. A lion, as he said, roars only after the prey is taken and is dead. He never roars before. You can't imagine a lion roaring before the prey. He'd scare the prey away, wouldn't he? But today, Israel is putting their confidence in a nation that cannot even govern itself. And I'm talking about this nation right here. It doesn't know how to govern itself. And it can't even govern the nation Israel. The nation Israel today is going to have another election. They're going to get somebody else in, as it looks like now. Well, all of that back there happened for future fulfillment too. So that's why we bring all this in tonight. In verse 2, the Lord tells Isaiah to go loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, to put off thy shoe from thy foot, and he did so naked and barefoot. Now, he wasn't actually naked. It was, in the Eastern cultures, it was the mantle that he took off. And he was clad only in his tunic and his inner, or it's called the inner vest also. And this was an emblem to show that Egypt is going to be stripped of her possessions. Egypt is speaking, of course, of the world. In every phase, the world, there is political, there's a political Egypt, there's a religious Egypt, we could go on down the line. In verse 3, he says, and the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah had walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoner and the Ethiopian captive, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. This 3 years was a sign, and it denotes a period of 3 days that he was to walk, as it's a sign of Egypt's humiliation that they would go through for 3 years. Isaiah himself was not to do this. We read in the book of Numbers that when the spies went up to the land, and they were there 40 days, remember? And they came back, and how long did God tell them they were going to wander through the wilderness? because of their unbelief. 40 years. See, so God uses these numbers as a sign. At this time that Isaiah writes this, Israel was a subordinate ally of Assyria. The book of Judges tells us all about Israel's rebellion, and then they come to the Lord. The Lord would raise up a judge, and they would yield. They would come back to the Lord, and then they'd rebel again. And this went on over and over. Well, today they're still rebelling. But here they were looking to Egypt for help and to be an ally, as they had made an alliance with them. And Egypt, as we read here, was their glory. Notice in the fifth verse. And they, that is Israel, shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. The world has a lot of glory. Well, Israel wanted to share in that glory, so they wanted to be an ally with them. Ethiopia was their expectation. They hoped for an alliance with Ethiopia and looking to them for their help instead of turning to the Lord. Oh, what this nation has to go through yet is sorrowful. This fifth verse tells of the effect now that the effect of Egypt's humiliation. He shall be ashamed. Let's read it. But they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia. This is what the effect that this had upon Israel. They became ashamed of both of these countries. And the sixth verse, and the inhabitants of this isle or this coastland shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation. Whither we flee, now speaking of Israel, where shall we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria? And how shall we escape? Read that in 2 Kings and you can find out. It's a lengthy thing, and that's why I don't want to go into it tonight, an account of this, what Isaiah is talking about. But read it and study it, and I'll tell you, the Lord will build up your faith, and you can realize how great He is. He's mighty to deliver. Praise the Lord. Israel is going to have to look to the Lord for their deliverance. And every nation on earth, I don't care what nation it is, Gwen and I like to watch the BBC news. No matter what nation they talk about, that nation is divided. They're rebelling against something in that nation. They're divided against itself, every nation. And Satan is the god of every nation. They are hateful, and they hate one another, don't they? Every nation in this world. And when Satan can use one nation for his means, he'll abandon it, and then he'll use another. Whatever nation he can use, this is what he'll do. We want to remember Satan's like a tiger. God has Satan like a tiger. Well, they said a tiger by the tail. He lets him go just as far as God allows him to do. We want to remember that we had in our last lesson that Assyria represents violence. And out of Assyria, we always read of the Antichrist coming. And Egypt speaks of the world in its corruption, and it's corrupt religiously, it's corrupt politically, and in every phase, this world is corrupt. That's why that's why we read right at the beginning that we cannot put our trust in man. Man is natural, man is corrupt. Praise the Lord. Well, that's just a brief, but you can get the full aspect of this and of it in reading in Kings. It has a future fulfillment. This nation Israel is turning to other nations yet for their help. Whatever nation they can get to help them, and perhaps it could be Russia. You know, what's his name was over there, not the PLO leader. Arafat was over there talking with Putin. And when you read this, and it's interesting, this kind of a little side view, but there's two religious groups that have joined, and that's Farrakhan, and we've all heard of Farrakhan, and Moon. Have you heard of them? The Moonies, they've joined. Now, how this fits in, we'll see. But it was interesting in there. And Islam is growing by leaps and bounds. And it's a terrible thing. terrible what they believe.